welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz. Today, we're embarking on a journey through the evolution of digital card management, from basic controls and alerts to encompassing full self-service journeys. We're going to explore the innovative features reshaping the landscape, including push-to-wallet capabilities and AI-assisted spend tracking. Joining me today is Wes Suter, Senior Director of Product Solutions at Ondot Systems, and Elisa Tavilla, Director of Debit at Javelin Strategy and Research. They're going to dive into digital card management and explore the exciting developments on the horizon. It's great to have you with us today. To start things off, Wes, what is the current landscape in digital card management features?
To answer the question, you probably need to go back a little bit in time and understand where we are today, how we got here. And if you think about Ondot, the business unit under Fiserv that I represent, they were the pioneer in the on and off alert and control industry as a startup in Silicon Valley, dating all the way back to 2011. Between 2012 to 2015, let's call it, they were, you know, really the what I'll call the engine behind all of the major card processors that are out there in the marketplace. And they continued into that until the next major event, which we probably all realize is COVID. And so, you know, COVID was really the accelerant for a lot of the solutions and experiences that we find ourselves in today, where a lot of that digital journey and use case scenarios really manifested itself because of COVID. You had merchants introducing touchless point of sale capabilities, which made things like Apple and Google Pay, which were already in market, more attractive for consumers to adopt and for merchants to accept. You had merchants that were doing business differently, where they were maybe ordering online. The consumer would order from that merchant online and then go to the store and pick it up. So where we find ourselves today is very different than where we were 12, 13, 14 years ago. Because it's not just on and off. It's not just alerts and controls. It's really an accelerated and elevated user experience so that the consumer, the cardholder, can do a heck of a lot more self-service than needing to call into a call center or even worse, going into an in-person branch and discussing their card relationships that way. Elisa, I don't know if you see the same thing relative to where we were and where we are today.
Yeah, definitely. I would echo what Wes said in terms of COVID being a key factor that has accelerated consumers' preferences or changed their behaviors towards the digital channel. Some of our Javelin research has shown that consumers are using both credit and debit cards in digital and mobile wallets. And I think the expectations that consumers have, whether it's in commerce or in online mobile banking, has trended more towards digital capabilities. If you think about it, when you use an Uber or Lyft app, you can track like the precise location of a vehicle. You can share your trip with others for security reasons. When you order packages online, you can also track like every movement of the package from the point that your order confirmation to each step of it leaving the warehouse to when it's arrived on your doorstep. So while, as you mentioned, Wes, being able to turn your card on and off, replace it remotely, there's certainly other capabilities that consumers and customers have come to expect of their banking app or online banking services. And it'd be interesting to learn more about what Fiserv and Ondot offers to meet customers' needs.
Yeah, I think we take our mark, and by we as a card issuing industry take our mark a lot of times by how the merchants innovate and iterate. You bring up like shipping, right? I mean, there is a same mechanism that applies to card processing and card issuing, where a card eventually does get created, and how do you track that through to the end user so that they can see that kind of full spectrum of that experience? At the end of the day, anything related to digital card management is really meant to solve two things. How does it make it easier to do business with that financial institution? And how does it make the consumers' lives more convenient so that they're more willing to use your card over a competing card in their wallet? I think that's at its core the principles of any elevated digital card management experience.
Wes, you know, you touched upon this evolution that we're seeing, and I want to really expand on that point. You know, what's in store for future evolutions? Are there any upcoming features or anything that you're seeing that will help, you know, organizations stay competitive in this marketplace?
Yeah, I think the evolution of digital card management is really going to hone in on a couple things. Number one, how do we continue to expand the abilities for those self-service functions to manifest for the end user so that they don't have to call into a call center? They don't have to go through an IVR system. They are able to do that at their fingertips in their moment of need. I don't have the data to prove this, but I'm going to guess Elisa does. We all have our phones in our hands. So my anecdotal evidence is myself and my family and my friends. I don't necessarily walk out of the house or out of the room with my wallet, but I always have my phone on me. And as we can drive more of that traffic, more of that experience into the phone, integrated into the digital banking platforms that many financial institutions leverage, well, that's just going to create the adoption, the awareness, and the level of loyalty that many issuers are looking for. And so a lot of that's going to come into the forms of how can I do what I do today by calling you and driving that into the digital footprint? How do I make sure that I can get my card into those embedded payment experiences, you know, like those card on file type of merchants, or even with those merchants that have the digital wallets integrated into their checkout flow? So it's really going to go into self-service capabilities and really that embedded payment environment.
Yeah, I can certainly share a personal anecdote similar to Wes. I mean, just a few days ago, I left my house without my wallet, and it was until like an hour or two later that I realized I didn't have my wallet. I'm sure if I had left my phone, I'd realize in 2 seconds before I even left the front door that I don't have my phone. It's just attached to me at all times. But with all the digital capability, I was able to make it through the rest of my evening without needing my physical wallet. I had my credit card and debit card loaded into a digital wallet, which I can use at places that accepted contactless payment. Or my backup plan was I can use it at an ATM to withdraw cash if I were to buy something at a place that didn't take contactless payments. And between that, I was also able to order like Starbucks or a car from Uber using the various apps and embedded payments. So I think it's certainly helpful. I mean, I personally knew at that point where I had left my wallet, but in the case that I didn't know, I can certainly turn off my card if I had to. So definitely beneficial or very helpful digital management tools in terms of payment. Another point that Wes brought up that I appreciate personally is not having to call the 1-800 number and like shout agent, agent, agent into my phone like a million times to get a human on the phone to solve my problem. And sometimes it's not even the right person. So being able to tell my bank that I'll be traveling, or simply, you know, setting limits or alerts so I know what transactions are being made, I find that to be very convenient and a positive customer experience. And I'm sure I'm not the only customer who feels that way.
I had a similar story just last week when my wife and I were ordering sushi. Like, I am to the point now, it's kind of the inverse of where I was before, where I was cautious about maybe using my Apple or Google Pay at the point of sale, to where I am now is like, that's my lead foot. I'm typically anticipating that I can use that solution and that technology at the point of sale. And of course I go to the, you know, one of the last standing holdouts that does not have a NFC capable POS device. And so I'm kind of on the reverse factor of now I'm more apt to lead with my phone than I was maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago even. And I'm just more comfortable leaving the house with my phone. I think the other thing that issuers need to understand is that when it comes to card management, digital card management specifically, as an issuer, you do not differentiate based on the ability to activate a card or a set a PIN. What we typically message and communicate and consult with clients about is that their focus should really be on how do you onboard and acquire new relationships? How do you take that new relationship that you just onboarded and cross-sell those at a later stage in that relationship? That's really the focus as you think about how card issuers can ultimately differentiate. Meanwhile, CardHub, the digital card management solution from Fiserv, that is really the rest of the innovative and iterative kind of experiences for digital card management. That's what we handle, is all the other stuff, while our issuers are really focused on that acquisition of new relationships. And that really comes into the form of two things, if you think about kind of the evolution. How do you as an issuer make it easy to get that onboarded relationship, but more importantly, get them the ability to use that card and have access to their funds through something like digital issuance? That's important aspect number one. Important aspect number two is that card processing has always been a game of volume. Volume equals transaction, transactions equal interchange. And so we're really focused on how do we deploy CardHub in a manner that A, makes it easy and convenient for a consumer, but B, drives that necessary relationship into all of those subscriptions, recurring payments, card on file merchants, that once you've established that default position as the preferred payment vehicle, those are relationships that are often measured in years, right? Elisa opens up a Hulu account. She puts her her preferred payment to that that relationship. The likelihood for her to swap that out with a competing card is very, very low. So how do we generate more of that type of card on file connectivity and relationship so that our card issuers are winning that default card position?
Wes, to your point, a lot of what you just spoke about really leads to customer loyalty and really, bringing the ideal customer experience through like their entire journey. Can you tell us, and I'm sure this is, for those that are tuning in, why this is important for financial institutions to know, like how, card management, specifically digital card management, really does help drive customer loyalty?
Yeah, as I mentioned in my previous answer, it's all of it, card, both debit and credit at the end of the day. It's just about generating relationships, which create volume and ultimately transaction interchange. I think the winners of the card relationships are going to come into two spots. How are they getting their card digitized in the two primary form factors that I typically comment on? Number one is the digital wallet form factor. How do you provision a card or tokenize the card into the Apple Pays of the world, into the Google Pays of the world? If you can get to that position where you can educate the cardholder that it's A, more secure, and B, it is a more convenient checkout experience, then you're going to attract that type of default spend on those Apple Pay and Google Pay type of wallet experiences. The second form factor is really around the proprietary merchant apps. I mentioned earlier kind of COVID and the impact and the acceleration that COVID created. If we think about what that ultimately did in this kind of buy online, pick up in store scenario, is that every merchant went out and built their own proprietary app. I put my name on it, I put my address on it, and then I put how do I want to pay for that? So every merchant, nearly every merchant has one of these kind of what we call in-app payment experiences. And how do you start to drive those interconnected relationships? And I think if you solve those two answers with your own card portfolios, getting the card provisioned into the wallets, and more importantly, educating your cardholders to use your card into those merchant app relationships, that's really how you're going to win long-term across both debit and credit payments.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. You had mentioned digital issuance a couple of minutes ago, which I think is extremely important, especially these days. We mentioned how both consumers are trending towards digital online commerce as well as merchants since the COVID pandemic. I'd say, for example, if your customer lost or misplaced their card, they can easily call up and ask for a replacement. While it could be sent traditionally through the mail or overnight even, it's not instant. But with digital issuance, you can replace that card and have it in your customer's phone or hand, in my case, because my phone's always in my hand, within minutes or seconds. And it, to ensure that there's a continuous, seamless experience and that your customer or cardholder is able to keep using your card as top of wallet, that's important, because whatever lag time there is, that would cause them to have to use a different mode of payment. And as you noted, the stickiness of a payment method is really important in the customer's shopping journey.
Lisa, that is the most sensitive chapter in a relationship between a cardholder and the card issuer, is those disruption events where I have to get rid of the old card or the old PAN or replace it with a new PAN. Because if you're the consumer, right, that is a very vulnerable position, because if you don't have a replacement card quickly, then I have to either move on to a different form of payment, which is perhaps a competitive card in my wallet, or I have to wait, 7 to 10 business days to get that card in the mail. So that's why the criticality of digital issuance is so important. If you're the card issuer on that, you're potentially losing that relationship, not just short term, but also potentially long term. Because if I can't fulfill that gap in your experience of that disruption, then that consumer again is going to move on potentially to a different card. I lose that relationship. The card relationship has always been the most important relationship for a financial institution. It is by far the product that is used more than anything else that a financial institution can do. If I'm a debit card holder, I'm doing 25 transactions on average per month. That is way more than I'm doing by calling into the call center, by going into the branch, by doing any of those things. The card relationship is the most important relationship that a financial institution has. So you do not want to miss that gap where there is a disruption and you can't fill that gap with even a digital version of that card. And by digital, that means the ability to push it into the wallet and ability to view the details of that card so they can continue with their e-commerce traffic.
Yeah, I think from the consumer or customer perspective too, if my financial institution or card issuer didn't have the ability to make my experience seamless, like say if I were to misplace or get my card stolen, like, I don't know, there's almost a sense like they're letting me down or like they don't have my back. Like in this critical moment, I mean, I need to buy those shoes that are on super clearance and they're not there to help me get it. I'm only joking. But or even in more serious cases where I'm traveling and this is the only payment method I have and I really need to have access to my account and the bank isn't there to replace my card almost instantly, then I would feel a bit disappointed or let down by the institution and could potentially take my business elsewhere.
You both spoke a lot in terms of like the advantages of this. And I'm sure that one positive is the cost savings that this really does provide financial institutions. Wes, can you delve into that more?
Yeah, we've talked about on and off and alerts and controls, but I think it's important to, when you come to a cost savings, I think about it a few different ways. From a macroeconomic standpoint, we find ourselves in a labor market, especially with, hiring challenges and people moving from one job to the next. I think it's especially hit the call center industry, specifically pretty hard. And a lot of that activity in today's world is being sent to the call center, right? If I'm activating a card, if I have a transaction inquiry where I see it maybe pop up on my phone, but I can't recognize it. I don't know who that merchant is. So I've got to call into the call center. That is a call that, a lot of those institutions are having to staff and source for. Well, if you can move that out of the call center and into a self-service environment, that is obviously going to benefit you from a cost perspective, but it requires two primary things. It requires timing and it requires context. And what I mean by that is, how can I reach Elisa as the consumer in real time or near real time? How do I then not only reach her with that, you know, card active activity event, but then give her enough purposeful context that she easily and explicitly understands what's occurred on that transaction activity? What we've done at Fiserv and with OnDot and the Card Hub platform is we've built a proprietary machine learning engine that sits in the cloud, and it reads every authorization that comes through for both debit and credit. And it not only notifies the user of the activity that's ensued for that purchase transaction, but it takes it a step further. It tells Elisa, hey, we noticed that you've used your card at this merchant. But when you read the merchant name in its traditional sense, sometimes it doesn't make a lot of sense. And so we take that original merchant name and we clean it up. We apply a logo to it. And because Elisa, in this example that I'm sharing, was doing it in store, what we call human present, we overlay a map orientation. And so I say that again, it's all about timing. Can you reach that consumer quickly? Can you give that consumer enough purposeful context? And if you can do and solve for those two things, then Elisa doesn't have to call into the call center anymore, right? She can read it right from her phone and say, oh yeah, that was, you know, that was Dunkin' Donuts, and I can see it on a map and I can understand who, you know, that I did that and perform that transaction activity. So that's really important just on the legitimate side of that transaction. Let me give you the alternate view. Let's say Elisa's never been to Dunkin' Donuts in her life, and she gets a notification on her phone and she reads and she can explicitly see that it's got the Dunkin' Donuts name, it's got the Dunkin' Donuts logo to it, that it was a transaction card present, but instead of being in Boston where she lives, it's in New York City. Well, she immediately understands, because of that purposeful context, that it's an illegitimate transaction. Well, she can go back into the platform, she can turn her card off, and then any net new authorization thereon would be declined. So as you think about how it impacts issuers from a cost perspective, driving more volume out of the call center is always very valuable. But as valuable as that is, how do you make that fraud world where we're all very sensitive to losing money based on counterfeit activity or any other illegitimate factors? Well, you do it by deputizing your cardholders, the Elisas of the world, but you do it based on how fast can you reach them and how much purposeful context can you provide them?
Yeah, I was just going to say, Wes, of course, I've been to Dunkin' Donuts. I'm from Boston. Like, there's like three on every block. But I agree that, you know, the more self-service and information and data that you can use to inform both the customers or consumers as well as merchants is certainly beneficial. Staffing call centers is extremely expensive for issuers. And like I said, it doesn't always provide the best customer experience in the case where you have to keep saying agent, operator, or for me, I just try to think of any term that would get me to a human. I think leveraging all the information that's available with the transaction location is certainly very valuable and can save on a lot of the resources that are associated traditionally with call centers. Like, for example, I use the same card to purchase like airline tickets and book my hotel reservations and other tickets to like travel sites or tourist sites, say in France or Paris. So my issuer would likely know, okay, well, Elise is going to be in Paris on like May 5th to 10th or whatever, and therefore would not try to block my transactions when I try to purchase things overseas, and also saves me the trouble or the time of having to call in and inform them that I'm going to be traveling. So I think as we move forward, the digital ecosystem becomes more robust and all the information that we have available can certainly make it a more secure and seamless environment for everyone.
Yeah, my final thought on this is, you know, I think card issuers need to understand that, you know, rewards is still important, right? A lot of cardholders are still going to choose based on rewards, but more and more so, it's about the digital experience. There was a Javelin study, I think, issued in December of 23 that talked about the comparison between digital bank and their success, digital-only banks versus traditional financial institutions. And there was like a 58% respondent that said, why did you choose a digital-only bank over a traditional? And it was really about the ease of which that application and onboarding process was with those digital-only or digital-first providers. So I think it really kind of resonates into the commentary we've had today about how do you make it easy to onboard? How do you make it easy to focus and on the acquisition of that new relationship? And then ultimately give them access to their funds with that digital version of their card. Overwhelmingly, cardholders are beginning to look at the digital card management experience and make that part of their decisioning process on whether and which financial institution to choose from. And so it really goes back to how do you make it convenient to do business with you and begin to expand kind of that digital card management experience for your consumers.
Thank you both so much for sharing your insights and perspective, and thanks to everyone for tuning in today. Be sure to subscribe and stay updated on the latest Payments Journal episodes, and don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and colleagues.